You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This is it. We've never done this before. We were always playing too nice, and I wasn't sure that we would always agree before, but I knew that we would this year, so I pitched you guys this. We're doing an award this year. We've decided that we're going to pick the best brewery of 2021. Drum roll, please. Who is the top brewery?
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a glorious week so far. I most certainly have been, because today is Heavy Montreal presents Vox and Hops Brutal Montreal. That's right, the first edition of a true metal and beer festival happening in my hometown of Montreal at Corona Theater is tonight. I am so excited. Performing tonight is my band Cryptopsy alongside my friends in The Agonist, The Great Sabatini, Necrotic Mutation, and Burning the Oppressor. All night long, you'll be able to enjoy amazing beers from some of Quebec's best breweries, such as BG, Brasserie Urbaine, Missorum Brassatorium, Brasserie du Bas-Canada, Sir John Brewing Company, Cinquième Baron, and Brassard de Montréal. I am so looking forward to standing on stage tonight, looking out at an amazing crowd full of wonderful humans enjoying life, metal, and craft beer all together. I am just so damn excited. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. More than that, I'm also asking you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that's just an uber beer geek, well, make sure to tell them that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You could tell them that there are over 300 episodes for them to discover, where I hang out with fellow metal musicians and we talk all about craft beer. So if you would encourage one of your friends to become a future Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today's episode is a bit of an annual tradition that started 3 years ago. This is the Top 10 Quebec Breweries of 2021 episode with my friends Craig Thorne of the BAOS podcast and Noah Forrest of Beerism.ca. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 316.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Here we are again. For me and Craig, it's the third year in a row that we team up to hash out the top 10 Quebec breweries. Last year, Noah joined us. Very exciting. Another amazing year in the province of Quebec for the microbrew scene. I really believe that the pandemic has forced Quebec brewers to really push themselves because they couldn't get anything from anywhere else coming the way they used to. It was so easy just to bob down into the States to pick up some stuff, but now they had no choice but to make it themselves. And it shows. And it was cool. And we as we always do this, we threw our lists together, right? This is my list. This is your list. And we see our lists. And it was pretty fucking similar this year.
This was the first time it had
been. Yeah, it was really easy.
Like 8 out of 10 was the same, yeah?
Absolutely.
Very cool. I think we did great.
Basically, I think we didn't even have to make any decisions. Because we had so many things in common that all 10 were accounted for, that we at least all put, I think, 2 votes for between the 3 of us. So that's pretty impressive. Not different enough.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe we need a wild card. We got to fight into 4th.
Ooh. It's
kind of like
maybe PR or something next year.
Yeah.
I actually thought about that.
That could be interesting.
I was thinking about that too. Literally, that.
Great minds, right? Hey, if we can make this bigger and bigger, like I started with just me and Matt, and then, you know, we grew it now a bit more with you, Noah. So now it's like, if we get Pia, I think that could be a fun one for next year. So let's holler at him for that. So essentially what we're going to do, if people have seen this before or listened to it on Vox and Hops or read about it on Beerism, basically we're going to run through our top 10 breweries out of Quebec. Now, just to clarify, they're literally in no order at all. Initially, Noah very handily put them in alphabetical order. However, the order that we're going to drink some beers from these breweries didn't really fit with the alphabet, because we'd be drinking a stout before a pilsner and blah, 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 and it would be a mess. So we kind of reordered them so that we could comfortably, you know, pour a new beer each time. So the very first brewery, I guess I shall introduce them, on our top 10 of Quebec, top 10 breweries in Quebec in 2021 is Kanawaki Brewery in Kanawaki, Quebec. with Drew, and I believe it's Chelsea, the head brewer, is her name, I believe.
Amanda.
I apologize. I've heard she is lovely. I've spoken to her very briefly on FaceTime, but she seems hella cool. We are drinking a brand new beer from their Exploration series called Che Cazzo, an Italian Pilsner, 5%. Have any of you boys had this before?
I definitely have not.
Oh, yeah. Want to do a photo bit? I'm super keen. I know that Drew is serious with his crispies.
Ooh.
Oof. This looks great. I fucking love Italian.
I have not had this.
No.
I have not had this either.
This beer is fantastic. Well made. The feel is really on style. Really smooth. Hella crisp. Great cereal vibes. Mild grassiness in there. Man, tell us why. Like, Kanawaki, I feel like, were they on our top 10 last year? I think they were.
Definitely on somebody's, or at least two people's.
And if they weren't on the final, then maybe we had them on our ones to watch for this year, but I really feel like Kanawaki have, like, you know, really come into their own. They introduced smoothies this year. They've been doing, I feel like, a lot more crispies, which I don't think they were doing that as heavily last year, which has been really great. Obviously, the Cryptopsy collab, which is phenomenal.
Hell yes.
They did a bunch of other collabs that, in the crispy world, that obviously the Yaramir Lager is hella popular. Such a great beer. You know, their Haze series, their Monster series, has been exceptional and very consistent. I haven't had a smoothie, but funnily enough, I have a smoothie collab coming with them either this year or early next year. We're not sure. Right? I'm excited to try it. Tell me what you guys think. Why did you love Kanawaki this year?
I just checked our list from last year, and they were an honorable mention, which is surprising to me because I love them to death. First off, Drew is just one of the coolest fucking humans in the beer industry. I love him. You know, primarily because he's a metalhead, but also because he's super funny and makes killer beer. Finding Amanda to come in and to really round out the team has been really, really good for him. They make killer beers all across the styles, which is something that I think is going to be resonating a lot throughout our list this year, is that they're well-rounded breweries. It's not breweries that are just standing on just one style of beer, and Kanawaki has proved that. They made the best beer at Montreal's Beer Garden, hands down. It was like a mango, weird barrel-aged, can't quite remember, but it was freaking delicious. It was the best beer at that beer garden. I just remember being blown away by it. And I'm excited to see what he's got coming up next. I feel like the sky is the limit for him. I feel like Kanawaki's a little bit underrated because of the fact that they're just on the territory and they can't distribute. Here's hoping that in 2022 they can start distributing and you know, start making a mark across Quebec much more heavily, and I think that will have a massive impact on them.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a number of beers from Kanawaki, and you've seen an evolution over the years. But Drew's always been a really good brewer. He was the president of the Montrealers, yes. I think, right? If not
correct.
Mistaken.
Yes, sir.
And he did that. So, like, he was obviously a talented home brewer and even beyond, and then he opens this spot. And, like, I think what I like about him is he's humble in that, like, I've been there and he'd be like, we shouldn't even have sold that. That wasn't good. Let's take that off the lines. You know, like, he's pragmatic about it. He's not like, everything I do is great, you know, or whatever. Like, he knows when he's needs work on something or whatever. And so Minotaur, I think, was one of the first that I had in a growler. And that freaking beer was like...
Money, eh?
Yeah, it was like the best New England I think I'd had in a long time. And then they started canning. And I know, like, the first batch was a bit... I remember the first batch of Beast I wasn't a huge fan of in cans. But then when I had it again, it was just, like, so on point. It was fantastic. So, like, His Haze thing is great. Like you said, I think part of it is definitely the, you know, them not distributing. But then you also have places like Missorum that, like, purposely don't, and they're
that's location though. You can get to it.
You're right.
It's easy to get to
versus 4 minutes from my house.
Well, massive cheers. Congrats to
Cheers
team.
To Kadalaki. Kill them.
Hell yes. So good.
Also, Drew is team lactose. So. Not that we care about that anymore, but you know the vibes.
Keep your eyes out for something wacky coming from the three of us and him, too.
Oh, yeah. And Mike Beerbrit as well is involved in that collab, which is ridiculous. And even the one that I'm doing with him is ridiculous.
Fifth person, too?
There might have been.
Nathan in that?
Was he?
I think it might be.
Yeah, I can't even, because we've been talking about it for damn near. Actually, you know what it was based on? The predictions from the Beerism blog for 2021. Do you remember
right.
It was that article, which means it was like a year ago. So we've been fucking around with this idea for a year. And he brought it back up like last week.
Yeah.
It's been brewing.
I got to admit, I never thought it would actually happen. But that he's like, he's on it. All right.
I never doubt him. He was a part of Brutal North America, made a amazing beer for Cryptopsy. Aside from the crisp tops that he makes regularly, he made Cold Haze, Warm Blood, the Double New England.
Yes.
Double New England with freaking blood orange in it. It was awesome. It was very dangerous.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, man. Love it. We shall move on because I feel like we could yap about all
number two. Yeah.
Number two. We're going to let Noah introduce this one.
So this brewery is arguably the most popular brewery in the province, I would say. I don't know. Or at least in terms of like notoriety. So that's Brassage Canada out in Gatineau. So Gab and Marc-André, they've been doing what they continue to do. They're in the process of expanding in this giant facility that I had a chance to go visit a couple of weeks ago. It's huge. They're gonna have a tasting room, and you're gonna probably I'm assuming like a pretty decent barrel room is gonna happen. They're starting to do smoothies this year, and they're good, but they're not really canning them much. Only a couple of times, I think. They've kind of just been honing in on what they do and what they do best because it works and it's what people want, and they're expanding. So it'll be really interesting to see how they scale up, because that facility is gigantic. And like, I don't know what that'll mean. Are we going to see, I assume that what that ends up meaning is that we see, Hypa on the shelves at most of our beer taps and, maybe like Lost Tabernacles or some other. Stuff like that. And then it probably also means they can scale up the stouts, which are like their most popular beers. Anyway, all that to say, I think they have continued to do what they do and do it well.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say, an interesting fun fact here is last year, I don't believe Matt and I had Bar Canada on either of our lists, and it wasn't from them not being the fucking goats and the OGs.
Because you couldn't try them.
Because we couldn't get them. Now, this year, I just checked, and we all had them on there. This year, I had more Bar Canada than ever. I think we had them on the pod this year. We did the link up beer with them as well. They participated in that. It was a treat this year to really drink as much as I got, which wasn't as much as maybe what you would get, Noah, but, you know, much more than usual. And it's just A1. Like, I love that, you know, I had one of the first smoothies as well, and I was very impressed, of course. The haze continues to be exceptional. Obviously, the stouts and just, you know, whatever they're doing is top of the game, and it's exciting to know that it's about to be a lot easier to get it all. Hopefully it's going to be a lot easier to get it, and they're able to distribute maybe, you know, a little bit more aggressively throughout the province.
Totally agree. I think that, you know, they had to be on this list. They make some of the best beer easily in the province. Best big stouts for sure. Super stoked to have them as a part of Brutal Montreal, one of the breweries that will be offering a brew there. I am excited for the expansion to see how they handle that, how to make it bigger, keep the recipes consistent, get the beers around, hypothetically even get some kegs into some bars. That would be super sick too. You know, I'm excited to see how the beer geek population accepts the fact that it's more accessible. I'm interested to see how that goes. Will it be that the mad hype for the hype when it comes out, if it's there all the time, I'm curious to see how that affects and how they mentally have prepared themselves for that. And I also, with the new facility, I'm curious if they're going to start making Belgian beers, because that's when they started the brewery. That's what they wanted to brew.
That's true. Going to be interesting.
I remember telling us that.
During the pod, yes, I remember that too. The interest, I'm trying to, as you were saying that, Matt, I was trying to think of another example of a brewery who had gone from hype to, you know, expanding. And I couldn't think of one. The closest was Bellwoods when they had opened Hafus, and now so many of their beers at the LCBO. But they kind of...
What about like Heady?
Heady is a great one, because I guess once they opened the Stowe location, they were still getting lineups initially, and then it kind of just... I don't think you'd ever have to line up for an Alchemist beer at all in 2021 or whatever.
Closest things that comes to mind in Quebec is a big brewery that did it is Boreal. Boreal's Nord-Est. When that first dropped, everyone wanted it. They lined up for it. They hunted for it. You know, Gabriel Zulong basically changed the game here a few years back by dropping that beer by a big company, but still really solid. And then it's available everywhere, and then I go to certain stores, and you pick up the can, and it's dead. When it dropped, it wasn't like that. So, anyways, just curious. Yeah,
going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So, Bar Canada, well deserved yet again. Time for number three, Maddie.
I'll take the lead. Yeah, I was at their 8th anniversary back in October. BG Brasserie Urbaine, they switched their name this year. They are just killing it. They're one of those breweries that can brew everything and anything. Max is a fantastic brewer. They were most definitely on our list last year, and they deserve to be there again this year.
Yes.
So exciting to see a brewery do so well in every style, and I think that's just, as a musician, to look at it like that, it's like scary to see how talented someone can be. You know, someone that can sing, someone that can play drums, it's almost like he can play every instrument. He's the perfect musician, perfect bandmate, and I feel like BG has accomplished that, whether it be with their lagers, with their big freaking stouts, which were just incredible this year, all the stuff that dropped at that the release there in October, all of those Franklin stouts, the big collabs that they did with Nano Cinco, just killing it, just so damn good. I can't say enough good things. Pitched them a crazy idea that's going to be coming out soon, including these two wonderful humans with me here tonight. Something important in the craft beer industry, including a fourth content creator, a female content creator. I think it's I'm super excited for it. So yeah, I can't praise them enough. I think they're so damn cool, and they're also a part of Brutal Montreal because I love them that much.
Yeah, I mean, they contacted me about a year and a half, like just after COVID started. Max messaged me, he sent me this long message about how he likes what I do, if he could send me stuff. And to be perfectly honest, I was kind of like, all right, whatever. But I wasn't a fan previously. Really, I had one or two things that were fine and other things that weren't. But everything he sent me, like, was on point and good, from the barrel aged stout to the IPAs to whatever. And I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting like mediocrity, and I got like a wow, really, really good set of beers. And then it's just gotten better. I think, to your point, like the stouts have been good to, oh, I'd say that they've ranged from okay to spectacular, and now they're like they're really at a point now. Like that last the barrel aged pastry,
Lazy Mary.
Lazy Mary, that was easily Buck Canada level, Masorum level when they nailed it. It was all it was, if not better, it was really something. But what really has like kind of floored me is the barrel aged sours that they're doing. Like they're special. I think last year it was like my favorite beer of the year, pretty
what
much.
What was it called again?
It was Calculon.
Calculon.
That was fucking good. It was a gin barrel aged sour, and then this year they've dropped a raspberry, a cherry, and then this like cherry raspberry blend, and then like the branding's on point too. Like
massive shout out to Ramay.
I was shooting it earlier.
Killer.
And it's like basically like someone with a raspberry head and someone with a cherry head, and one of the fruits is behind the other one, and it's like this scene from Ghost, and it's like elegant but absurd and hilarious at the same time. Like their branding is fucking A1. Perfect now. Sorry. Go on, Craig, before because I think this podcast is going to be three
hours. Be too long. I'll keep it short. I recall, I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I went to Quebec City last year with the tourism office, I was asking you and who I should hit up because I'm not super familiar, and you were like, yo, Brasserie Générale is killing it. So I hit them up, hung out with Max and Sam, and I was floored as well, everything. I'd seen their stuff in the past. It was a lot of wheat ales and pretty, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff. And all, it's like they just decided to be fire. And they just started releasing this incredible haze. They had like a nut brown fucking ale with coffee from Nectar, who's in the Limoilou neighborhood. I went to the pub. Mm-hmm. They didn't go to the big one. But just impeccable. I actually had Lazy Mary, the OG, last week. I didn't realize I hung on to a bundle of Double Dip and Lazy Mary, and you're not supposed to do that with pastry stouts, which was a new move on my part. I had the barrel-aged whenever that dropped, but I was so impressed, even however old it was, maybe close to a year. I know you're not supposed to, but it was just so good, man. Everything you guys said, they deserve it, from the branding to being, you know, incredible at everything they touch, so... I imagine they're not going anywhere on this list for 2022.
You don't actually have to worry too much about aging pastries. You want to age them. You don't want to age them because you don't want to lose the like aromatic, the adjuncts. Like if it's got like macadamia nuts in it or something, if you age it a year, you're barely going to taste them. Where when it's fresh, it's like crazy intense. But the beer itself is still like a 10% sweet stout. You get a couple of years out of that without it tasting off. It just won't be as maybe as intended.
Gotcha. I made sure I crushed it. Thank you. As soon as I could, because I read the bottle and I was like, "Oh fuck, you idiot!" So I found it, and you know, this is the problem of beer media idiots like us, that you put something in a box and you forget it exists. You know the vibes. So
well, I'm noticing that now, especially in an apartment, because I have like beer tucked away in corners of my closet, and I'm like, I don't know what's in there.
I do think it's interesting. I do think that it's interesting that they've been alive for 8 years, and it's never too late to reinvigorate yourself. So
big fact.
I think that's commendable because they changed from being basically grocery store beer to hype beer in the past 2-3 years, and I think that's very commendable.
Yeah, could not agree more. With that in mind,
We're swapping beers,
and this one's perfect. I believe I'm going to kick this one off. Looks like we've had a nice little, you know, 1-1-1. So this brewery is quite special to all of us. They came on the scene last year. I think they were actually in our top 10 as well when they were brand spanking new. Once again, very well deserved. This year, obviously, they're just, you know, going from strength to strength. If it was even possible to get any better, Elmer Quebec's Cinquième Baron, just a exceptional brewery. We're going to be drinking their Monsieur Pignon, a 7% New England IPA. I probably have to check Untappd for the hops, but So there, look, just with, I would say, Matt, what you said about Brasserie Générale, is equally equivalent or applicable to Cinquième, as far as it doesn't matter what they touch, whatever style they make, whatever they do, it's some of the best in the game. From their barley wines to their crispies to their haze, their stouts, that mouthfeel on their stouts, we could probably have a whole podcast just talking about that. I'm going to shut up because I could really go on about these guys forever. And obviously, you know, the team, Noah, you can talk about the couple collabs you've done with them. I mean, I'm in a partnership with them for a non-profit called Link Up. You know, so Jacob's a good mate. And obviously Chris, a fellow beer media individual. We talk with him every day and he works out of there. So, you know, we're all close with the team and just, they're the fucking best. So cheers to Cinquième, and I want to hear what you guys have to say.
It's probably the brewery on this list that I'm very hyped up on to that I haven't worked with. I think that they're just phenomenal. Yes. I'm very, very lucky to have been associated with La Canette. Kevin was one of the first people to really start getting a lot of their beer drops here in Montreal. And him being a good store clerk, he would encourage me, and a good friend, encourage me to try these beers. And I'm happy that he did, because every single one of them has just been killer. Just exciting. Love their stouts. Their big stouts are just phenomenal. I can't get enough of them. I'm excited to see where they take this, because so far, I think they're underappreciated, probably the most on this list. Love them. Noah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Craig, I think the thing that they have going for them the most is that they do everything very well. And that's such like a simple thing to say, but it actually means a lot in that they manage to take most styles and subtly amp them up in certain ways that like complement what that style is. Like I find their stouts just have a little bit more body than others do. And like they have a whole line of West Coast IPAs that are just killer. Their New England stuff is solid. I did two collabs with them this year. One was last year, one was this year. There's only so much to say, but they totally deserve to be on this list.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just to confirm, this beer has Nelson Sylvan, Mosaic, and Mosaic Spectrum hops. It's just like a burst of tropical fruits, citrusy.
Yeah.
The white grape, obviously, from the Nelson. It's chalky, which I love. Their haze is just A1. I feel like this is their money zone. They're impeccable at all of them, but like mixtape series, it's like 6.5. And this, you know, between the 6 and 7 mark, which is my personal favorite for IPAs anyway, I just feel like they just, whew, so much flavor. Even their pale ales coming in at 5.55 are like disgusting.
Love it. Mad cheers to the gang. Second Battle Hawk next.
Yeah, Maddie,
a brewery that I was very stoked to have teamed up with last year for two collabs, one of them which I'm very, very proud of. Probably their most adventurous, most out-of-the-box brew that they have made. Two words, brutal juice. Just love it to death. Just can't love it enough. Obviously, I'm talking about Brewski. Very exciting brewery. I cannot love their brewer enough. I released 22 beers last week of June for Brutal North America. And sadly, the one beer that didn't make it, Derek, their brewer, was fighting it for months and months in a fermenter trying to make this beer a reality. And it did not pass his high level of standards, and I love that. So he pulled the project, and they have the cans sitting there. So they're sitting there, these cans, and he still didn't do it. He put it on a tap and called it Project something something and slowly sold it that way. But it wasn't good enough for him, and I love him. I think that he's just the most creative brewer that I've ever had the pleasure of having a conversation with. I could go into that brew room and hours disappear, and I just sit there like a little schoolgirl basking in his knowledge of craft beer. Plus, he was a metalhead for a time, too. I love it. I can't love him enough. Brewski.
Yep, I agree, man. Derek is such a champion. He's, aside from you guys, like he, as far as the guests, he's the most appeared guest on BOS. He's been on 4 times, I think, now. Loving me, participated in Link Up. He was the first to reach out to give us the money. I just like his ethos, his ethics. Everything he does is phenomenal. He changed the game with the smoothie sours in Quebec and arguably in Canada, because I don't think anywhere else was doing them before Brewski. You could probably argue maybe Masorum, but I'm fairly sure it's Brewski. Either way, they were one of the pioneers. You know, their IPAs are fire, their stouts are fire. They also have the same thing as BG and Sankiem, as far as like whatever they touch is killer. They do a lot of, for their tap list, because they're an old port, you know, run of the mill, what do you call it, like color wheel beers, ambers and wheats and blah, blah, blah. I haven't had those beers in some time, but I imagine they are fucking money for something that probably none of us would be super interested in. So if you're coming to Montreal and you're in Old Port, at least you've got Firecraft beer. And even if you're not a real beer nerd, you've got something for your palate. So I appreciate them across the board. Branding's consistent.
The branding has gotten way better this year, I will say that, because that was my one critique last year, that I didn't like their branding. It felt a little bit, it was lacking. And this year they stepped up the game. I do have to say that.
It's darker now.
Yeah, you're right. It's like it's the same kind of vibe, but it's almost like it went in a slightly different direction, like a little,
like,
darker
moody.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it. But yeah, for me, I feel like 2020 was really their year in terms of, like, I think that's when they started doing the brew juices, and so they started canning in 2020, I think, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, correct. Oh, well, hang on. Yeah, I think they actually canned the year before.
I think leading into the pandemic, but I think that they did really well throughout the pandemic.
Yes.
By canning and surviving that way, obviously, but also brewing very exciting beers that beer geeks would go there on Thursdays to pick up. And a good thing about them, and they figured it out, was how to make enough beer, not too much beer, and everyone, you wouldn't have to line up for it the way that other breweries on our list you'd have to. And the beer was just as good. And I think that was the key of success for them.
I mean, I feel like we could have 9 podcasts just talking about hype and what that means and whatever. Yeah. Because, like, to me, I haven't had... I've had a ton of brewski IPAs, and I live 4 minutes from Missorum. We're going to talk about Missorum.
Spoiler.
And... Sorry, damn it. Edit this part out, guys.
It's already gone.
But, like, I find them comparable. I find what Volcanada does, what Missorum does, what Brewski does, and maybe one or two others in Quebec are in the same spectrum. Because that's huge, right? Because, like, brewing solid New England's is, like, what people like us want. And they do it well. And then obviously their smoothie thing has always been great. Like, they've never had canning issues. They're not on the, you know, no one talks about brewski cans exploding, right? It's all about the...
That's true. That's true.
The cans or whatever. Like, Derek managed to, like, figure that formula out well. And those smoothies are great. And then their stouts are pretty good. They really went full pastry. You know what I would love to see from them is to tackle an imperial stout, or imperial stout with coffee, or
like a barrel aged, like bourbon barrel aged stout.
Yeah, or a bourbon barrel aged stout.
Yeah,
they brought in some barrels. I think the big key issue with that for them is that they have this killer location downtown, which also means that space is extremely expensive and limited. Although they are expanding, so maybe. That's exactly where that is headed. Interesting. Segueing into what you already spoiled.
Wow. Your neighbors. The whole podcast. Tell them, Noah.
Do you guys want me to go?
No. Never.
Actually, can you continue from Missouri?
Just call right. Stay on. Jump in the car. You can talk about him on the way there. Tell us about
The next one on the list is Missorum, which I am... You know, have become a hipster fanboy of them since moving back to the city.
It's where we
No, been. I yeah. It's really close to me now, so I've had the luxury of being able to go over, and I must have had everything that they've done in the last like month and a half. At least in terms of just hops. Like, I don't bother trying to do their releases because the whole thing is absurd. I don't find they're absurd. I find their fandom absurd in that, like, I won't be able to go and just order what they're releasing for their, like, 12 days of Christmas because it's just going to be a shit show. No matter what they release, even if it's not any better than, like, the shit that you can go down the street and get, like, it's going to sell out in, like, seconds because it's Missorum. And I'm like, I love Missorum, but, like, they're not 300 times better than somebody else, you know? They're... Maybe slightly, or maybe less, as you know. So it's just like a whole weird thing. But everything that I have is always solid, man. They have like everyone criticizes them because they think like, oh, they're brewing all the same IPA over and over and over, and they're really not. Like, they're all really different, and I've noticed that. And some of them I like more than others, and like they play with different hop profiles. I had an IPA with some experimental hop and. What's that new world German hop?
Mandarina Bavaria. Mandarina
Bavaria. I'm having deja vu because I think I was talking to you about
you
that.
You were, yes, the other day.
Like, yesterday. And so, like, that hop is weird. And, like, I feel like at the beginning it gives, like, a kind of a candy thing, which is off-putting. But then you give it, like, a week and it like, changes a bit. And it becomes more interesting. So, like... As much as, yes, they are only more or less brewing New England's stouts, smoothies, and then they'll always have, like, one lager on. I've always loved what they do, and I think they're a pretty polarizing brewery, and I think that's because probably their marketing is so fucking genius that people latch onto it, and it's almost become like a phenomenon.
It's definitely a phenomenon. People waited for 7 hours in a line to get beer.
In 2020,
it's amazing.
They camped out overnight.
Anymore.
It's unbelievable. I can't fathom doing that, but I definitely think that it's awesome that people love a brewery that much or love a product that much that they need to have it to that level of intensity.
That was pretty common a few years ago.
Mm-hmm, that's true. That's true. I've had more of their beer this year than last year. I feel like they're sticking to their course. They're the hype train. The branding is incredible. Filion is just amazing. I can't imagine being in his head and having to deal with the pressure of coming up with some new art piece to match the beer every week. That is stressful. I'm stressed just thinking about that. And I had him on the podcast and I asked him about that, and he definitely, it resonated with him that it is a struggle. Sometimes you sit down and there's just nothing that comes out. It's like writing a song, right? So brewers have tangible things to work with. They do have to come out with stuff,
right? But
there's tangible things to work with. There's Luke from Yakima Chief Hops that's showing up with some new toys for them to play with. It's different than an artist that has to sit down to create something. I think they're the most exciting. I think that they're metalheads. They know how to play with media, play with hype, whether they intended to be that way or not. They are that way now, and they're definitely in that point. My bassist works there as a cook. I haven't eaten any of the food, but I've heard that it's just killer, amazing stuff. I'm impressed. I'm you know, we're friends. I've known them. I've toured Canada with them. I'm impressed that they're this goddamn successful, and I'm proud of them. Very happy to have them at Brutal Montreal as well. Craig, go for it.
Love it. You guys really nailed it all. I probably had less Masorum this year than normal, actually, just based on pandemic. You know, they're difficult to get to for me, and if someone was
I'll
kind enough to
year, buddy.
No, you actually hooked me up today. You're a fucking gem. That's how I got some more. I have a bunch in my fridge now, thanks to you. Know I appreciate it. So whenever I have got them there, just like you guys said, I find them consistent. I agree, Noah, that their IPAs are all very, very different. I think they went through a bit of a rough patch, I want to say last year, where I felt like I had a bunch of stuff that just wasn't up to snuff. But everything I've had this year, I probably had half a dozen also, maybe a few more. And very impressive. I'm looking forward to getting into their... I'm obviously a fan of the smoothies. I want to try some more of their smoothies. I had them... I think I went there just before the pandemic last year. Like, it was just like... I always love going to Masorum. If someone came from out of town, like, I'm taking you here. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. It's the sexiest place. It's so sexy. It's got like a sleek feel to it.
Exactly. And if you're going to be a nerd friend, it's like going to the States. Like going to Brooklyn. It's like going to Vermont, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's I just think what they're doing for the scene is really important. They, fun fact as well, they had a thing which we've talked about. I don't know if it was on the podcast with them or here or whatever, but they were saying that, you know, when they first started, a bunch of, you know, legacy brewers here were like, oh, you guys are going to fail. There's no way it's going to work. And one of those brewers, I'm going to call them out because there's a reason, was Dunham. And they were pretty upset by that because obviously they respect Dunham very much. And then I heard this year they did a beer together called Bury the Hatchet. Which was
that's awesome.
About them
amazing.
Realizing that, you know, well, maybe they were right. And I thought that was pretty big of Dunham to be able to do that. Look, guys, you know what? I was wrong. You showed me. Let's fucking do it. And I think that's beautiful. And, it, you know, that's a testament to their success and what they're continuing to do. And whenever I speak to my Ontario friends, that's what they want. That's what they want to get. They want to get Masorum and they want to get Masorum.
My favorite Masorum story this year is the Division. When Boreal dropped that beer and everyone was saying that it looked like Masorum's branding.
And then
Gabriel Zilon called Filio on the phone and Filio answered and he couldn't believe that Gabriel was calling him. And then it ended up turning into that they released a beer together.
Good.
Because
that's
of
awesome.
You know what I mean? And you know, I think it's just amazing. That's one of my favorite stories about Masorum this year.
I heard about
well,
it.
Well, one thing that I can't speak to, and I'm guessing you guys can't speak to either, is I think I've only had one or maybe two of their barrel-aged sour program stuff, and I've heard it's quite good, which is kind of like a very or at least a more respected brewing process, right? So if they're nailing that, then they're clearly not just a bunch of jokers who are throwing hops at beer.
That's a great point. And they just got all the food last time I was there, and I've heard it's changed completely since, but they were building out that side room with foods they brought up from American Solera. Thank you. They're really doing some great stuff. Once again, well-deserved. I don't think you're going to find a top 10 list in Quebec without the Solera Brassatorium on there. So congrats again, guys.
Yeah.
Next beer. Wow, this is it's a lot.
We're jumping. I'll intro the next one.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Near and dear to my heart, the wonderful humans, some of the best people in Quebec's beer industry. I've released 3 collabs with them this year, and there's more in the works. I just love them so god darn much. Of course, I'm talking about Overhop Canada. They just dropped this for my 3-year anniversary. I remember how many years I've been alive. Double Vox and Overhops. It's the big sister, big brother, the amped up version of our original Vox and Overhops. This is an 8.5% double New England IPA. I believe it has, my brain remembers, the Vic Secret, Galaxy, and Citra going on in this.
Okay. And what is that in... what's that in different to the original? Was it the same or?
And Vic Secret, Enigma, Citra was the original.
Okay. There's so many hop names. I don't remember any of that.
Matt, how did double Vox and Overhops come about? Was it like you saying, hey, it'd be awesome to do a double? Or were they like, hey, we want to amp up your beer. Do you want to do a double version? Or like, how did that go down?
No, it was definitely my idea. And my original idea, and I hope that we do in the future, was I wanted to drop both of them at the same time. Ooh. I wanted to drop Vox and Overhops and double Vox and Overhops at the same time to have an experience for beer enthusiasts where you can A, B, and see where the actual subtleties. And it'd be actually even more interesting if the hop profiles actually stayed the same.
Exactly.
From one to the other. And the only thing that was changing was the amount of, I guess, oats that they're using or whatever to amp up the ABV. But this is a dangerously boozy. I remember the first time I tasted it, I was like, oh shit, that's boozy. But then the more I kept drinking it, it just sort of dissipated into the tropical fruity notes going on there. I love them. The artwork, yet again, their dude, Walter, just kills it. It's like a reimagining, changing the colors a little bit of the original version of it. I love it. I love them. I love Overhop. I love their creativity. I love their openness when it comes to participating in any projects I throw at them, whether it's wild or it's crazy or if it's just an easy thing as reimagining a beer together. Patty, Tatiana, love them to death. Just so Ricardo. They're just the best people in the Quebec craft beer scene. Last year, we said that they do big things this year, and they absolutely did because they had just gotten their production facility. And they've done it, and I'm excited to see what comes up next. Craig, you dropped a collab with them this year, too.
I did. I did a beer called Hello Montreal. It was an honor. I've known these guys for about 3 years. Yeah, the beer came out perfect. I asked them to do something like Trillium. They even had a friend in Boston ship them up some Trillium because I hadn't tried it, and they really nailed it. I was extremely proud. Even the artwork, I'm just looking up at the can there. It's got the colorful windows really nice. From the Palais de Congrès in Montreal, which is where we met at the, what's it called? Mondial?
Mondial de la Bière.
Yes, sir. So, you know.
How sweet is that? That's amazing.
Isn't that cool? And that was Patty's idea. And Patty, to be transparent, is like a personal friend. Like, it's a me and Tiff text. We have a group chat, and like, we text her regularly, and she's a friend.
Also, that's
like,
the only reason they're on this list.
Yeah, this is completely biased. You could buy in your way to this list for sure. Like, we take PayPal, Interact e-transfer, you know, whatever. Hugs. Yes, like... Last year, they were on our Breweries to Watch list. They did a fantastic collab with Emily La Petite Bière, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Chromatica, love that beer. Nice Kvir kind of pale ale. Everything they did, they've taken the brand. Their branding is some of the greatest in the country. Hands the best. Down. It's just so iconic. It's absolutely beautiful. Two by POC female, like, ownership, running the fucking show. They're powerful individuals. I don't know. I just love them so much, and I'm so proud of them. When we first time I saw you in fucking forever, Matt, we went to the launch. Yeah. Their 1 year anniversary, which was beautiful,
was
and that was the launch of Montreal. And I know it was just so, I was just so proud of them. I was like, man, you know, look what you did, man, you motherfuckers. He came through. You had all of these headaches to get the place, and you just made it happen. And you're beautiful humans, and you deserve all the success in the world. So, congrats to them, man. Noah.
Yeah, and the only thing I was gonna say, well, you guys know them a lot better than me. I know them online. I've had nothing but the most positive experiences with everyone who's worked there. They just seem like the loveliest people.
Yeah.
I just haven't had a chance to really personally get to know them, but I'm sure that'll change in time.
You will.
I think you both have touched on here and many times before, like the transition out of Oshlag. I feel like every brewery that leaves that fucking place is like does well for themselves and makes far better beer. So not that their beer was bad, but it's on another level now that they have their own facility and they're doing things the way they want to do. But what I was going to suggest to you, Matt, is I love the idea of the releasing those two Vox and Hops and Vox and Over Hops at the same. But no, you got to do better for pale ale version, IPA, double IPA, triple IPA.
Okay. Overhop
of
humans.
Death.
I love
whatever.
It. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. You can call it something.
I like it. I like it. A good idea. Writing it down.
honestly,
write it down.
Someone else that stepped out of Oshlag and has done really well for themselves and are now even contract brewing other breweries. Take it, Noah.
Avant-Garde, who, like, that is the perfect segue because they were brewing out of Oshlag as well. And then they bought themselves this beautiful facility in Oshlag-Maisonneuve. Like
same building.
Say 2 years ago?
I think you're correct with that. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
I went for the first time like a week and a half ago, and then I went again last week. And Renaud and Sean are the co-owners. I don't know if they have any other partners or if it's just those two. But anyway, if they do have partners, they're silent or something. Because and Renaud is both of them are beautiful people, and like I went and I spent the entire night with him. Like he just took the whole night off from his kids, and he just treated me like royalty from like 4 to midnight. So that's why they're on this list. I've been a big fan since they contacted me a few years ago, and like I finally got to try all like the barrel age stuff they were working on, and so their barrel program is great. I feel like I mesh with their almost, like, you know how some people have certain palettes that are just different than other people. I feel like I dig what they dig, kind of thing. Like I had this Baltic Porter on tap that was like an 8.5% stout. And you know how Craig, we talk about that sweet spot where like something's not too light, not too heavy. I feel like their Baltic Porter just like nailed that. It was like 7.5% or 8%. Just you had it? Nice.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, that was
but he gave
killer.
Me the, it was a can from a while ago, but it, I think it was the same beer. Okay. Like 7-ish, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
They have a crazy pizza oven and make these fantastic pizzas. They have good food. I had their like risotto, and that was really on point. I got to pull nails in their barrel room, and I got to try like all different vintages of what's going on in their barrels, and that was a really fun experience. And seeing like how meticulous they are and finding the right combination and blending and all that. It was just a lot of fun. It was like being like a kid in a candy store, and everything they do, like they're not known for their haze, but what they do is fine. But when I go there, I'm mostly excited about what's going on in their barrel room because they do a lot of barrel aging. Like they had a 14.5% rum barrel aged Imperial Stout that is just like this decadent, it's like a Bourbon County kind of feel. Like it's so dense and lovely. But they don't really do smoothies. They don't do pastries. They're not traditionalists, but they're not chasing those trends either. Good or bad, that's just who they are.
Maddie.
The reason why they're on the list for me is definitely their barrel aging program. Very complex, very wild at moments. Definitely very exciting in that aspect, and it's refreshing to not go there for haze. I haven't been there per se to the tap room, but I have enjoyed a bunch of their beers and cans, and we were lucky to get our hands on a bunch of their bottles right before we did last year's stuff, but I enjoyed them basically in
true.
Early 2021.
True.
And it was some of the best beer that I drank all year. So they deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. I got to get out there. I got to go hang out with them. They're not that far from me. So the reason why they're on the list for me is that they're the most exciting barreled beers in Quebec, hands down for me. I think that they're just super drinkable, yet super wild and funky at moments, and that excites me. Another thing that I love is that they have a bunch of like beers that they are distributing that I can get access to very easily, and they're extremely solid. They dropped a new West Coast recently that was super crushable, amazing, just
cool.
Exactly what I want. Exactly. And then they are messing around with the haze with all the making fun of Instagram people and taking pictures of themselves. Like, they sort of, you can tell that they have a sense of humor, and they're putting that into their marketing and their branding, and I enjoy that when it comes to this brewery for sure.
Yeah, well said. I want to echo both of that sort of sentiments there. Like, every time I've hung out with them, whether it's for podcasts or popping into the brewery, like Sean and Renaud are just fucking gentlemen. Like, I feel like I've had the most fun podcasts with them. Like, yeah. When I was doing them in person, like the first time.
Wasn't that one of your first like main kind of Quebec, or at least the first one you did in Quebec that kind of like sparked people's interest in you in Quebec in general? Because I remember that being the one that because I didn't know you super well back then, but that was the one that like I ended up watching that I was like, because weren't you like pulling nails into your mouth or something?
That was
hilarious.
And that was like, this is when Sean was he worked at Oshlag, right? So that's why he was able to brew his own beers, because he worked at Oshlag. So he's kind of got this bias where he's always brewed avant-garde beers. And it was, it just made sense. And that's exactly it. We were pulling, barley, cognac, barrel-aged barley wine, pulling the nails out, from directly from it on camera. And then the last time we did one at their brewery, like I actually helped them set up the new brewery, because I went through a few times to pick up the beer or to whatever the fuck it was for, just to check it out and, help them set up tables. And the last time we were there, Sean was like smashing glasses on the podcast. Like he's just so funny, man. Like the last one we did, like he's the funniest fucking dude ever. So like, they're just lovely people. Anyway, that's, once again, that's how they get on there. They, they slipped us some interacting transfer. But the beers themselves, I think Matt is right. I love their barrel-aged stuff. Stouts, their
Crispies are good, too.
Crispies are A1. Jet Set is a classic. And they use Jet Set in a lot of their, barrel-aged sours and stuff as, like, a blend.
Well, and one thing to mention, obviously, as well, is that now they're doing contract brewing for...
I think it's amazing. I think it's so damn cool.
Lagerbrau, who I just was on the podcast with Craig a couple of days ago.
That's coming next week.
Ipon and Lupulin. They have three. It's true.
So they're doing some great stuff. Either way, their tap room is one of the most inviting. I haven't been there since they did the pizzas. I haven't been anywhere for a while, unfortunately for me, but their pizzas, like, I heard incredible things. And their tap room is just one of the coolest in Montreal. I always send people there. They're one of the other ones. Actually, almost every brewery on this list I send people to when I can. So, yeah, man, nothing more else to say. Those guys are fucking champions. Beers are amazing. So, cheers to Avant-Garde. Next up, yes, this is believe it or not, Crispies are my favorite style. I would take them over anything.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know. People don't believe me. This brewery opened last year, and I still haven't been to the brewery, but I've had most of their stuff, because they're not like pumping things out. Brasserie Silo in Ahuntsic, they have really been doing some interesting stuff. So the owner is JP. I've known him since he had Le Cirque Sale. We did the podcast. I always thought he was a really quirky, interesting guy. He was so dry. His English is solid, but not phenomenal. So, when people have a certain speak a second language, they're unintentionally funny. he used to always just crack me up. And then as I've got to know him more, I feel like I've got to appreciate the quirks that make him the brewer that he is. And he's really taken this you know, side project with Silo. He actually also owns Birra, which is a beer bar / brewery in Little Italy. And obviously he does it all, got a little bit different styles. And I don't know, man, I really like him. He came by the other day to drop some stuff off. And every time I really enjoy talking with him, he's really thoughtful. He's really analytical. He really brings that to the style of beers that he does, you know, making crispy beers in this day and age. You really got to, you know, he did the pilgrimage to Czech Republic.
Pilgrimage, yeah.
And, you know, he came back and he's super inspired, and he's got the multiple Lucas there for the slow pours, and he's just doing everything, even these low ABV stuff, like 2.9% Czech pills, and stuff, just good money.
They're fantastic. Like, I hate session IPAs. Like, I just can't do them.
Same.
But those, like, those super low ABV lagers he did, or like grisettes and stuff like that, I think can work at that low, but like those beers were good. I would drink them easily.
Some of the best crispies in the city. All I have to say, some of the best crispies in the city, like no bullshit. The vast majority, when people come to Montreal, I'm sending him to Brewski. I'm looking at the list, sending him to Masorum. I send him to Avant Garde and Silo every time. Oh, those four, 100%, if it's Montreal. Otherwise, if it's a little extra, I'll send him to Overhop and stuff. And the next, I almost said it, but the next brewery actually sent him to there too. So I just really feel like no one is touching what Silo is doing with Crispies. A lot of people coming close, but there's a dedication to the Crispies that I respect that he's really put down. Not to mention, he does some fantastic IPAs there. He just linked me when, like, you know, they're doing some box and they're doing this West Coast stuff. And I'm really proud of him. I think the branding's A1. I'm really excited to check out the spot. But yeah, man, some of the best beers in the city.
I went a couple of, I don't know, maybe like a month ago on a Saturday night, and me and my date were the only two in the entire place. It was so shitty. I think the location that they have is super challenging because
that's what he said.
The beers are fucking phenomenal, and the space is gorgeous. You feel like you're, I don't know, like in this like hip but not pretentious hip, and also like very green. Like everything's like a light wood, and like almost like an IKEA or something, and like these plants that are like growing down, and it's like super nice. And they have four lucre taps, and for those who don't know what that is, I mean, I'm not going to explain it well, but essentially it's a tap that creates a nicer head on a lager and makes it a creamier beer, and it has to do with how it pours, and more or less nothing more than that. Like it's the way that the beer's coming out of the tap and how it, like the timing of it and the pressure and all that. So it's not like when you have a Guinness, there's nitrogen in it, and that's what gives the head that like literally creamy. It almost looks like whipped cream. You get a little bit of that from a lucifer, but it's not like adding anything. But it makes it taste, I don't know, just creamy and delicious. And I got that smoke beer and the pock that you did too, Craig. I'm excited to crack to those. Had their oat pale ale, which was like their version of like a New England thing. But it was solid. Cause like I didn't feel like it was trying to be the contemporary double dry hop thing. It was softer. It was dry and a bit more bitter. There was like a hop resinous thing going. It was a great beer. It didn't really fit in a specific category, I guess. It was kind of its own thing, and that's cool. Their lagers are where they shine. I enjoy everything they do.
Maddie.
I completely agree with you. The location is a challenge. Opening right in the middle of a pandemic has been difficult. Yeah. The branding, I think that they had I don't get the white can thing. I enjoy.
Oh, that's an interesting.
They dropped three of with like these pixelated pictures. I enjoyed those a little bit better. because they felt a little bit more black metal. But I definitely think that had they reimagined their branding in a pandemic, it might have done them a little bit better. But that's just one aspect of this. The room that is beautiful. I know that once people start going there, they're going to keep going there, whether it's in north of Chabanel or not. The most important thing is though, that Jean-Philippe makes beer for himself. He absolutely loves beer. You can tell that he loves beer. He loves good beer, and he does not fucking care what hype is. He makes beer for himself, and he is succeeding at that because the beers are just freaking phenomenal. And anytime I see them, I pick them up, and anytime I'm anywhere close, I stop in, and he knows this if he's watching right now. I send him a message, and I say, I'm in the area. I'm coming. And I drop in, and whether I got the kids in the stroller and they're running around out front or not, he always takes time to come say hi to me. So love Silo, and they
that's really nice.
Absolutely deserve to be on this list because they're doing amazing things. I'm excited to see where 2022 goes with them.
I know we need to wrap up, but I just want to quickly say that I actually agree with you on the branding. I actually really like this the simplicity of it. And for those who don't know it, it's for the longest time it was like an entire white can. It's and like there was usually like a ladder on
a
it.
Ladder.
And then at the bottom of the ladder, there would be a little image, whether it's like a kid
a cow
playing with his
dog
dad or a cow or a whatever.
But I don't think it was memorable enough to actually remember what each beer is.
So like if in this day and age and social media and when you walk into a store and you're inundated with like 5,000 cans, I can point out really quickly that that's Silo, which is good because that's a whole other problem with other breweries whose branding is all over the fucking place, so you never know if it's their beer or whose beer it is. So it was always obvious that it was Silo, but I think the problem, to your point, is that like I wouldn't know if they were dropping a new beer because it's just another beer with a ladder on it, whereas in now they've moved on to like the white can, but then with this like really kind of cool little doodle on the front. So at least then it's like sticking with that simplicity, but it's allowing you to walk in and be like, I don't recognize that doodle. What's this Doppelbach or something, you know, or whatever. Like it's keeping with what they do, but I think it works better.
Yeah, definitely agree.
Love it.
Fantastic. Last one, Matty, this one's on you. Oh.
My neighbors, I was so excited when I found out that there was a brewery coming within 7 minutes walk from my house.
Nice.
I was actually their first paying customer. And
oh,
that's because not... No, I didn't. That's the issue. I didn't understand what was happening. I walked in. I was out walking with the kids. And I knew that they were opening that day. And I just showed up at 10 in the morning and walked inside and talked to them and gave them... I had dropped like 3 or 4 collabs in the same week. And I gave them like a 4-pack of my collabs I dropped that week as like a, here's like a present to you. Have a great first day. And I was like, I want to buy beer. I want to support you. So they had to start up their cash register. I didn't understand that they weren't open yet. So I was their first paying customer. Of course, I'm talking
just
about
not intentional.
Melon. Yeah, it's Melon, but also
Melon.
Straight up, first thing I have to say, they opened in what, May?
May
April?
This year. It was May, I believe, just before the summer.
So goddamn young to, and they hit our top 10 already. Number one, branding. The branding.
Yeah, branding's great.
It's so goddamn sleek and sexy. Hitting all of those Masorum notes, yet having their own identity. Just amazing. Typically, they are a lager place. Like, they love lagers, but they gave us a stout. And I pushed for us to drink a stout to have a
porter,
more
actually.
Balanced...
It's a porter?
It's a porter. This is a porter, sorry. We're drinking a porter last, and I thought it'd be cool to present like a more varied array of beers throughout the night. So they do typically make lagers, and that's basically what their mantra is. But this is why we're drinking their porter instead of a lager tonight. I'll let someone else take up the... And then I will pick up afterwards.
I love it. I connected with them through you, Maddie, like, fortunately, so thank you for that plug. I also, my barber happens to be down the street from them. So when they were opening, I just kind of walked by one day. I'd spoken to them on Instagram and just came in and ended up chatting with the boys, David and Alex, for a while. And I came back like two or three times even before they opened, once with you, and just hung out. I'm just like, man, you guys are cool as fuck. And this is before trying a sip of their beer. And before they opened, they'd happened to have canned. Thank you, babe. And they linked you and me with a few cans of that stuff. And they showed us all of the, I think you might have left, but he walked me through all of their branding and like every single element on the can he had an explanation for, everything. And that was for every beer. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Their photos are phenomenal. Social media is A1. They did everything in the bar themselves with their family and stuff. You know, even Alex's brother, David, as well, is super, he's like an investor. He was super involved. He's all there being super cool and shit. Like, I just really, I think I was the first podcast for them to be on as well. I was trying to always land that. I missed out on Lagerbrow because PR beat me to it. But it's okay. If it was you or PR who beat me, it's all good. If it was anybody else, we're fucking pro. But yeah, man.
Those are on the only legit podcasters.
World. There's only three in Canada. That's it. None other ones matter. Bam. So, these guys are just wonderful human beings. Their beer is phenomenal. I haven't been out that way for such a, I haven't even spoken to them in a minute because I haven't even been anywhere near like Rosemont in since the start of summer. Since probably like June. So I haven't
gone there today. I was right there.
Fuck, could have.
No, I think about it.
Well, we're fortunate to have this, but yes, and Matt, you make a great point. They only opened in May. Already they're on our top list. They were in all of our lists, I believe. And I've just been really impressed with everything top to bottom with them. I just think they're wonderful people. Beers are phenomenal. And just everything is well deserved. If you haven't been there, I would highly recommend it. And they are, once again, the other brewery I always put on my list. Like, if you're in Montreal and you want to go see something, fucking go check them out. And you can go pop up to La Canette. And they're in a great new area, exciting new area for beer up in Rosemont-Villeray, near Ile-de-Garde and Harakana and Bira. Like, it's a great time. It's a great place. Uncle Forrest.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, they weren't on my list, and it wasn't because I don't like them, but it was because I think this is actually the first can I've ever had of theirs. I went for your birthday, Matt, and I had a bunch of stuff on tap that night, which was all very good. And I had their original beer, which I actually loved. It was a...
the rye PA.
Oh, yeah, the rye PA. There's no woman, no rye.
No, it was a dry hop lager, or no, like an IPL.
That was the collab with Avant-Garde.
Yeah,
Avant-Garde.
It was Avant-Garde, but it was exactly... I never had that. So it was like, I guess it was more like an Avant-Garde beer or whatever, but they had their branding on it, and I fucking loved it. And I enjoyed everything I had that night as well, and their branding is great. And what I like about it is, again, like not having had a ton of their stuff, but what I do like about it is they seem to have like a vision of what they want to do, and it's not necessarily crystal clear, but it's like something on the lagers / hops side. But the hops they want to do, when I say hops, I mean IPAs, I guess. Yeah. Like the IPAs that they want to do are more... they're not quite West Coast. They're definitely not New England. They're more like aromatic, drinkable IPAs, sort of. And I think they want to start specializing in like saisons and easy drinking sours, or like sour saisons and stuff like that. Because
yeah, they got two foodos.
A saison and a sour saison on when we were there. So like, it's kind of neat to see a brewery just kind of like go down like their own avenue, as opposed to someone who's like only doing this or doing everything, right? This is like, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's like their own version of a restaurant, you know, when you go to like a bistro and this bistro just like does their own thing or whatever, and in a, like a different kind of way. So yeah, anyway, all this to say, I'm interested to see where they go and how they'll succeed or whatever.
Absolutely. They have like a slogan called Bière de Soif, which is easy drinking beers. And that's what their mantra is. They want to make beers that you can drink lots of them of easily, smoothly. Most of the ABVs tend to be lower.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with my neighbors.
This is fine.
It's phenomenal. 5%. The aromatics are really there. The coffee, the coconut.
No, it's huge.
Really hit both of them. I think they're sexy. They've really hit the hype ideas. I think that they have their own identity. The place is really cool. They've like done a bunch of really innovative like events already, where they like you like a lager event when they invited Ildegard and Harry Canna and Masorum to come bring in kegs, and they had like fresh pretzels. They're really creative in a way to bring people to their very young brewery, and I just can't love them enough, and I'm excited to see where they take all this.
Yeah, well said, bro. I think that basically rounds out the top 10 of our top 10 breweries in Quebec for 2021. Now, of course, as we said, not all of our lists aligned. So we definitely have some honorable mentions, because it's it's not an easy task, to be honest, to list the top 10 best breweries this year compared to the last 2 years. It was the closest it's been as far as the breweries that we had the same. So that was pretty impressive to, as Maddie sort of pointed out at the beginning, like, you know.
Yeah. So let me tell you exactly how many we had.
I think we had six that were identical that all three of us put. And then we had about 2 to 3 that two of us put.
Yes.
And only about between three of us, there was 4 that were only there one time. So I imagine each of us have some other breweries that we like to, which is, look, honestly, it was significantly less than that. That's, you know, I think that speaks to the quality. Matt, you mentioned it earlier, or maybe it was Noah. Someone said that, you know, moving into this, new world that we're in, breweries had no chance but to step the fuck up, and people had to support local because they couldn't get stuff from Vermont and New York and blah, blah, blah anymore. So, you know, what we have in our backyard is just impeccable, and it was already on the way up, and I feel like they really, you know, stepped up and then some. And I mean, I say it all the time, guys. I don't know if I said this last year, but Quebec is hands down the best province for craft beer in Canada. There are some very close ones, but Quebec is the best. I really, really genuinely believe that, and
cheers,
I didn't believe
to fucking that. Man.
Yeah, man, cheers to fucking Quebec, man. We're very fortunate. You know, we're fortunate that we have access to this type of stuff year round, you know, and I haven't really had much of a need to get stuff from the States. I've only done it once in the last year and a half, and it's, I've got everything I need here. So with that said, do we all have, who's our honorable mentions? Whoever wants to go first.
Go for it. You go first.
I got two. The one that no one else had on their list was a brewery that's very close to my heart that I actually met Noah Forrest at this brewery in 2017 at L'Espace Public. Do you remember, yeah. Noah? We met with Remy and Max back when they were the Wild Chat.
Yeah, because they were releasing that killer
The Grand IPA, Guignol. Like, it was the only New England IPA. I was just discovering it. It was January. It was fucking brick out. And I took our neighbor down there in ice cold. It was so cold you could barely walk from the Uber to the front door. It was fucking insane. And I drank them out. And then you guys came, and it was Remy and Max's collab. And they only got like half a pint because they came too late.
And yeah, I got to get a sip of it. That was it.
I had like kicked 3 pints. Up there. Fuck, it was beautiful. So, L'Espace, I did 2 collabs with L'Espace this year. Obviously, our annual Bière de Vacances, the Creamsicle Sour in the summer. And we just dropped, like last month, we dropped a blueberry guava passion fruit version that's a little higher ABV. It's money. Matt, if you didn't get it, I have some for you. It's fantastic. I just love what they're doing. I've been to the brewery. They have a second brewery now, not just the brew pub. They've been stepping it up out there. They got a beautiful tap room in this real private courtyard at the back. Tasting the stuff what they have on tap there is just, I'm just really proud of them, man. I'm really happy. Simon is another individual here who obviously paid us because he's a good friend of mine. Oh, no, he didn't make it. See, you can't pay enough, even if you're a homie. You don't make it. You get honorable mentions. But, yeah, no, Simon, I just love him. I think he's just the salt of the earth, one of my favorite humans in beer in Quebec, and I love what he's doing. So I really think L'Espace is stepping it up. They're just really trying new things because they have the space and the capacity to do it finally. So proud of L'Espace. The other brewery that I love that I only recently discovered was Toltec out in Boucherville, just outside of Montreal. That was supposed to be on the podcast. We changed the date 3 times, so we just pushed it to January because they're just too busy. I picked up some beer from them a couple weeks ago on the way to Prince Edward County, so I've been just documenting those, and I'll just promote them. They were for the podcast, but the beers I've had were phenomenal. You know, the guys are super cool. The place is beautiful. It kind of reminds me of a cross between maybe Silo, from what I've seen at least, and like a and Melon, actually, like the new, you know, wood and plants and open ceilings. And, you know, they're really known mostly for their haze and their smoothies. I really think, I guess they would be, you know, a sort of late addition for my list for this year. They didn't quite, because I only had 3 or 4 different beers from them, so they were close, but I guess we're going to talk about ones to watch, but they're going to be moving across to that for me as well for 2022. There's a couple that I won't go too crazy. How about you guys? Who you got, Maddie?
I have to give the one that was on my list that didn't make the list for everyone else was Sir John Brewing. I think they're still doing really cool stuff. You know, those green IPAs are still sexy as fuck. Their branding is incredible.
A1.
Just some of the best branding out there. The big transition into their new brewing facility happened this year. I'm excited to see where that goes into 2022. But they make killer beers. Their haze is amazing. They make killer stouts. They like to fuck with lactose and fruit. The other brewery that I have to include, because I love them to death, is Le Fermateur, Quebec's most metal brewery that's distributing. I love them to death. They really make killer beers. They are a very smart brewery. They have been building themselves up step by step without overinvesting, and I think that's very commendable. They have transitioned from bottles into cans this year, and that was a huge, huge step for them. And it's crazy because the fermenters they have, they re-ferment in their bottles, and now they've figured out how to do that in cans, and that's crazy. So excited to see where that goes. They started their barrel aging program late last year and has developed over this year. And some of the bourbon stuff they've been doing is very exciting. And the wine barrels. So Le Fermateur, love them to death. And they're just the best humans to party with ever. Noah.
Love it.
I like it. One that we didn't talk about, but it came to me earlier, is Amère à Boire. So I don't know. So during the pandemic, they had to force them to start canning. But it's like been this lovely kind of silver lining because their lagers are spectacular. Have you had anything, Craig?
Not a single thing.
Dude, I love them so much. Every time I go to Turbo House, I leave and I stop at Amère à Boire and I come home.
Nice.
Every single time. I can't. You need to. They're the OGs of Crispies in Quebec.
Okay. I need to.
Oh, for sure. One of the OGs of beer in general, I'd say, right?
25-year anniversary this year.
Yeah. But yeah, look for them, Craig. Like, it was one of those brew pubs that would never distribute, but kind of.
They had to, right?
COVID made it happen, and then. So they have this like cute branding. I like it. It's simple. It's very beer. Like I don't know how to say it. You know what I mean? Like it looks like beer on the branding. Like and yeah, just like salt, really salt. Like one of the best Czech pils in the province. And yeah,
absolutely.
Sorry. So that was one. Another one is Lagerbrau, which Craig and I interviewed Alex and Jason a couple of days ago, and that should be released in 7 days from now.
Christmas Eve, motherfuckers. Christmas Eve, you'll have a Lagerbrau in your face.
Put your family aside. Ignore your children. Watch a Lagerbrau.
Crack a Lagerbrau and fuck the cookies and milk.
Not literally.
hey. So yeah, Lagerbrau is contract brewing out of Avant-Garde, and as we talked about before, they brew great beer, and they concentrate almost 100% exclusively on lagers, and I'm sure they'll like push some limits a little bit down the line, but for now they're keeping it simple, and they have a lager beer and a pilsner, and those will be their two kind of main core items, and then they're also working on a third one as well, and then down the line, who knows, and in time probably have their own independent thing, but for now they are contracting and they seem to be enjoying it. And lastly, if I may just have one more, just because I can't go through a year. I mean, I'd have many more. Like, I could talk about Robin. Fucking Robin. That's an impressive read. But anyway, I want to talk about Jude Ciel because it's fucking Jude Ciel. And I think they don't end up on these lists, not to fault of their own, but maybe ours, because, like, they're, you know, they don't have this huge lineup of brand new shit or what, you know, like, but they're still consistently doing spectacular stuff, you know, and just, I feel like it's, for me, it's like one of those moments of like, oh, what a time to be alive, where I got to go online and not have to like show up at a certain hour. And I ordered myself a 2-4 of Peche bourbon. Whereas in 4 years ago, it was like there was 500 bottles available and like 1,000 people in line, you know? Yeah. And now I'm like, do. I just type in, I pay for it. I got like, so like it, just the mere fact that I can get it, and like a Sekinicho Pinot, which is like one of my all time favorites of all time. And to be able to get it really easily, is lovely. They just opened up, they just renovated and opened up a new tap room in St. Jerome, and I went to go there last week, and it was beautiful. Got to have like 4 different versions of Peche on tap. They had like a American whiskey peated version of Peche. They had like a 2018 version of Peche, and then a fresh version. And I'm sorry, but that's just fucking heaven. So anyway, I think this is the first time I've ever not had them on my top list, but I like our collaborative thing where
it's a compromise.
Doesn't
compromise. So
I still love you, Ciel, if they don't.
Well, they deserve to be on everyone's list because they've got the greatest coffee stand in the country, if not the continent.
Everyone's trying to just make that.
Everyone's trying to make that. So like, it's almost like it's too easy. It almost seems lazy to say UCL. I think that's what it comes down to, because it's so obvious that they're just fucking money all the time, and they've never been shit a day or average a day in their life. So, you know, they're incredible.
And they dropped to New England this year.
They did. They did indeed. I don't think I had.
Yeah, they don't seem to nail those, I'll say.
Well.
But maybe this year they did. I don't know.
I respect that.
It was okay. I know. I was at the bar. I was like, I'm going to have 9 different Peches.
At least you know. So then, do we want to add?
Then I'll stop at Missorum on the way home.
I would continue with breweries that we think will pierce and make the 10 next year.
Next year.
Let's pick one each. Let's constrict ourselves.
I'm on the left of the screen, so I guess I'll go first. I think Toltec will be shining through based on, obviously, you look at this list, it's very, you know, Overhaul, Missoura, Brewski, Saint-Quien, Brasserie Generale, Bach Canada, Kanawaki. The vast majority of these breweries are haze gods. I think Toltec are about to be initiated into that, you know, upper echelon. They haven't been around that long. They're actually just a year, actually. So they started last year. I only got to try them, like I said, in the last few weeks. So from what I've had, very impressed. I feel like they're only going to get better. You know, I really hope to see them in that next year, in this top 10.
I agree. I've only actually had their collabs, but the collab they did for the IPA podcast, PA's podcast with Brewski, was the best IP I've ever had from Brewski.
Really?
So,
all right, being cool.
Just to say that. For myself, the Dark Lords, Borregaux.
Mm.
I feel like they're really tapping into something recently. They're doing these crazy releases. They're like really, really cool. Playing with the hype game. I feel like, and here's me just being difficult again, their branding needs a little bit more of something. They definitely have an identity, but I don't find it exexing. I don't find it exexing. It's not exciting. It's not sexy. It's not exexing. And that's it. But the beer is killer. They're messing around. They now have the distillery license, so they're doing these like 20% beers, which no one else can do. Cedric is crazy. He's gonna keep pushing for this. I'm excited for them. I want to see what they're gonna do next year. I know it's gonna be crazy.
Love it. Forest.
Exexing.
So many exciting movies out there. I don't know how to decide which one. Honestly, I find this question hard.
It is
and
hard
I know
though.
We kind of talked about it beforehand, but I don't have an answer. Okay. And there probably is one that like I'm just not thinking of. I mean, they've been on my list before, but I don't think they were on our list last year.
I know what you
mean. And I'm curious what's going to happen with their new facility, but that's Four Origins.
Ooh, okay.
So yeah, they're opening up. They just opened up a huge facility in Dorval, and I feel like the West Island in general is kind of like an interesting place to open a brewery like of that magnitude. I'm curious if the taproom experience will translate into my homeland, my ex homeland. Because it's like one of those things where like you hate where you grew up. You know what I mean? Like, the people in West Island are weird, so it'll be interesting to see what their success looks like. But I've always been a fan of what Mike does. I've always been I love Keegan and the whole team. And now Mike Beerbrit Montreal is their sales rep.
Brand ambassador. Really thank cool. you very much.
Brand ambassador.
Yeah. I'm
sorry. Whatever that means, I don't fucking know.
Semantic. Kind of.
I don't know. Like kind of what I was talking about with Melon, where it seems that they have this like interesting kind of like avenue. I find Four Origins has that a little bit too. Maybe a little bit less like cool and more like there's a certain touch that they put into everything. Like whether it's Mike's obsession with tea, which he needs to calm the fuck down on.
Or pumpkin.
But that's also kind of what makes them who they are. So yeah, anyway, I'm excited to see. And I know he wants to get a bunch of barrels and stuff. So well, who knows? I think they might crawl back up.
I think you might be right. Nightmare, their pumpkin porter is one of the greatest pumpkin beers I've ever had of all time.
Best pumpkin beers.
It really
and
is.
Their West Coast, their new one, it was West by Southwest, but West by Sudwest. Fucking A1, 6% West Coast IPA. It was glorious. I was so impressed with that beer, and I'm really excited because I know I spoke to Keegan recently, and Mike actually was talking to us the other day, and what they're doing out there, I think that what they're trying to do, what they're aiming to do, is going to be very interesting next year, and hopefully it'll, you know, like you said, they're not trying to be the cool kids, but I think they're going to start to do some things. What they do well, they fucking just nail it. They don't always hit the money. But when they do, it's glorious. So I think they're definitely going to be one to watch now that they've got this increased capacity and more, you know, room for flexibility.
They never brew something badly. They just may not always choose to brew the things that the three of us would be excited about, maybe. Sometimes yes, sometimes no for me. Yeah. But kind of like Cinquième Baron, which we talked about earlier, I feel like everything that Forgin does is good. And that's kind of important to mention.
I'm curious about this new facility. Is it going to give them freedom to create new things and to play? And that would excite me. But if they're just doing it to pump out more beer to grocery stores, I would be disappointed about that. But if they're doing it to be creative and to try new things, then I'm excited for them for next year. But if it's just to pump out beer to grocery stores, I don't know, but I like them. They're wonderful humans. I'm just being honest for myself there.
Probably do the both, and their brew pub will probably be the hub of the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think as long as Mike's there, he's too in love with brewing to make it solely about a business. But he's also very pragmatic and motivated, and like when I fucking met him, he was in his early 20s, but I felt like I was hanging out with a 40-year-old. Like, you know what I mean? He looks he's like what, 30 something, and he looks 12. But since he was 12, he's talked like he was 40.
So Maddie, introduce the next one. This is the big thing.
This is it. We've never done this before. We were always playing too nice, and I wasn't sure that we would always agree before, but I knew that we would this year, so I pitched you guys this. We're doing an award this year. We've decided that we're going to pick, and I don't know if we'll continue with this next year, but we probably should. We're given an award, the Best Brewery Award of 2021. It was hard not to talk too much about them when we went through it before, but as many of you could have guessed, I don't know if you did guess, but drum roll, please. Who is the top brewery? Go for it, Craig.
I was going to say the background right here gives it a little bit away. The good lords at Sankey and Baron are our brewery of the year. Wait. We need this.
Absolutely. Well-deserved.
This brewery, we had to hold back a little bit earlier so we could just talk about them now. I know we've gone on much longer than we said, but this this brewery, these people are just phenomenal. I don't know if you guys want to touch on it, but just the fact that they were the third best brewery in the world by Rate Beer in 2020, and they only opened in May last year. You know, they've continued that run. Everything they do is just exceptional, and the branding that Jacob is just dominating with every single release. From their, like, just like you said earlier, like every stream, they just kill it. It doesn't matter what it is. There's never even like, oh, that was okay. Like, I think I've said that about Sticky NBA. It's just, they're going from strength to strength. And I feel like in that sense, it's almost they're underrated. I don't know if they really are underrated, but I almost feel like, I don't think people know just how good they are.
Nobody knows how fucking good they are. I don't think people understand. I don't think that the lineups are happening for the releases. I don't think, I don't think that the beer geeks comprehend how freaking good they are. But now they do.
What I was going to say is, I think part of it, like you were mentioning before when I was talking about Missorum versus Kaneohe, and it's a location too, right? Like they're like, I've been there 3 or 4 times now, but it's a trek and a half to get there. Even if you live in, like, Ottawa, it's a bit of a trek because you have to go over the bridge and then you just go all the way to Old Gatineau, and it's beautiful. And, like, it's... I'm not saying this to say this. It is totally worth the trip. Just, it's beautiful there, like, especially, you know, when the weather is better and you can sit on the terrace with the greenery and... It's like it looks like Point Claire Village, or like a little bit. I'm not gonna say the old port because the old port's so urban, but like it's very quaint and almost like you're in Charlottetown and Prince Edward Island or something like that. It's really beautiful, and then you have that obviously full array of beers on tap. That, you know, and we touched on this before, but they managed to, I don't know, capture a style in a way that makes it exciting for me without augmenting it in some kind of extreme way to make it exciting. So, like, the porters are a little velvetier. The lagers are great. The West Coast, I think, are probably the most exciting thing they do, and that no one else is doing it.
Yeah.
Like, their haze is really good, and they do a lot of it. They constantly do either New England style pale ales, New England style IPAs, or New England style double IPAs.
Yeah.
Don't think they've ever actually done a triple, now that I think about it. But and like a lot of them, and they're all great. But which is actually saying a lot, because a lot of breweries, in order to be great at those things, have to more or less specialize only in those things. But I feel like they're concentrating on a lot of other styles, but while still keeping the New England thing really tight and delicious.
Yeah.
Without going like that green kind of intensity, there's always like a roundness to it.
I'm very impressed by them.
Constantly. Everything is like humbly fire. They're not trying to be trendy, but they're trendy effortlessly. Like this, but like, it's almost like people don't know that it's trendy though. Like, if they drank this, the real hype boys get onto this, it's going to be really hard to get this shit. So I'm almost like happy that people aren't on it like that.
I think, and speaking that they have so many West Coasts, and I feel like West Coasts are going to be the big return of 2022. There will be way more breweries making West Coast IPAs, and they're not just doing the West Coast. They have a series of them, and they're all amazing. And it's every style. It's very impressive to have a brewery be able to do that.
And they're bringing it to a new level of, like, they're using more contemporary hops, but then So the aromatics are slightly different than they may have been a few, like, back in the day, but back in the day meaning like 3 years, 4 years ago. You know, back in the days when you had to walk 7 miles to get to school, the West Coast IPAs were piney and rich. But no, they still have that thing, but just a bit different than in the past. And I did a collaborative beer this year with Sahin Baron, so I'm obviously biased, but whatever. Called Stoutism, which was an 11% imperial stout with barrel-aged coffee. And I loved what Dimitri did with that beer, with very little instruction on my part, because, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. I was able to describe kind of what I wanted, and he was able to make essentially exactly what I wanted, and it was perfect. I really couldn't have asked for anything different. I wanted, and I feel like it fit with them too, because like I like pastry stouts, whatever, but I wanted something classic and contemporary. So like classic in that we're not throwing fucking adjuncts like crazy into it, but contemporary in that like it's not that old school rich imperial stout. It's like that I wanted that imperial stout that you can, that's 11%, but you can drink a pint of. And that's basically what he did. Like, you can pour that beer into a fucking glass like this and drink it. I mean, it might not be the 100% most ideal vessel, but it's not a laborious adventure. And like, you can drink that 11% beer like it's just a beer. And
yes,
to be able to pull that off without you feeling like, oh, like halfway through it you're like sickly sick or whatever. I can't say much more outside of like, and Chris, our good friend who works there, and Jacob, who's one of the owners, and Dimitri, the brewer, and
Steven.
I've been welcome there so many times. Max, who's awesome.
Yeah, he's
and their podcast, the Deuxième Étage, which is also awesome. And I had a chance of being on there. It was one of the best podcast experiences I've ever had.
Best brewery in Quebec 2021. I'm impressed. I'm excited to see what you do in the next year. Impress us some more. Don't settle. Just keep pushing. Don't get comfortable. Keep being innovative. I'm impressed. I want to see more of the same, but better. But better. Bring it. That's all I got to say.
I have belief. I have faith. So, another year in the books, guys. Starting from the right there. Noah, where can everyone find you online, sir?
I am available at beerism.ca on the internet, or on Instagram as beerism.ca, and on Facebook as beerism.
I love it. Uncle Matthew.
You can find me at voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. I drop at least one episode a week, if not two, where I hang out with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at voxandhops.com. voxandhops.
Guys, thank you so much for watching and listening here on Vox and Hops, and for reading on Beerism. All of the links will be in the description to Vox and Hops audio podcast and for Noah's blog on Beerism. Guys, thank you so much. If you enjoyed the episode, smash the thumbs up, hit subscribe below, hit the notification bell, boom, so you know when the new drops. Follow us on social media at Beerwas Podcast, and check out the long form audio we drop every Wednesday. Well, it should be, sometimes we fuck up. It is what it is, at 8 p.m. Eastern. Guys, we will see you next year for the top 10 breweries in Quebec. This is our new thing, and maybe we'll have a fourth. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Hey, baby.
I think it's awesome.
I'm excited. Guys, it's, honestly, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. I love you both very much. I'm glad we're friends. I'm glad we are comrades in this weird craft beer journey. It's fantastic to do this. And look, we're going to know, and I really have to give it up to you, Maddie, because you drove this. This was fucking all you. This happened because of you. You made this happen. You are the most go-gettingest ass hustling ass motherfucker I know.
Yes, you are.
I just love seeing you win. I love working with you. You're a fucking champion. Let's do some BOS episodes, the three of us, soon as well. Like, just hang out and talk shit.
I would love that.
You know,
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you guys so much. It's an honor to be with you guys tonight. I value your input on the Quebec craft beer scene, on the world's craft beer scene very, very much. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you guys. This has been a blast. Let's keep hanging out, but without people listening, and let's do a cheers.
Yes, indeed.
Cheers.
Fucking cheers, guys.
Indeed. Thank
Congrats
you, guys.
Again.
Love
Thank you.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, do I ever love hanging out with Noah and Craig. They're just some of my favorite beer friends that I've made on this epic journey of becoming a metal and beer podcaster. I hold them dear to my hearts. Any collabs that I have in the works, I always run by them first. This was a lot of fun, and I feel like we covered a lot of ground, and I think that our predictions are going to be pretty strong for next year. I'm very, very, very stoked that we got this done. It was a little bit of work to coordinate it, but it was more than well worth it. Do you agree with us? Let us know. If you don't, that's cool, because like music, enjoying beer is a subjective thing. There's a whole experience that ties into it, and these were the breweries that we really enjoyed. So you can let us know what you enjoyed, and we will respectfully check that out. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week, including all the details for any episodes which I dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, as well as all the details for any cool projects that I have in the works before I announce them to the public. And you'll get the updated Thirsty Thursday links and the brand new links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is curated by my man Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. And you will also get to see all of the amazing album reviews that the Vox and Hops album review crew have dropped that week. There is just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I would hate for you to miss a single thing, so please sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a glorious night. I hope that you can join me tonight at Corona Theater at Heavy Montreal Presents Vox and Hops Brutal Montreal. I'm just so damn excited. But if you can't, that's cool. You can also check out the other episode, which I dropped today with my bassist, Ali Pinao, where we talk about the top metal releases of 2021. And that episode is also a banger. I'll be back next week with one episode, the final episode of 2021 for Vox and Hops. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey, everyone. This is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.